tries to get you to sin, to compromise, whatever it would be. Now, in separation, we can see how God works in one saint, separating them, and in another, he works the same thing, but he's separating them in a different way. Because for one, it's not so much of a problem, but for another, it is. So we have to, in our prayers, to be very sensitive. You don't have a problem in that area, and you're starting to pray, or you're getting impatient with them. Why do they have such a problem with this? I don't. Because we're all different. We're different characters, different personalities. We're all coming out of a different background, you see. So this is where we need to be loving and sensitive and prayerful with each other. It isn't your problem, but it is a problem to them, you see. And also, love, where you see a weakness in a brother or sister, you're not going to play on that weakness. You're not going to control them because of that weakness. That's satanic, that is devilish. And yet I've seen that go on in the house of God, and it is wrong. It is wrong, you see. You who are strong, you bear and encourage the others who are weak. That is what love will do. That is what separation will do, because we're separated unto a holy life. And we note in what we have read here that our ministry then becomes effective. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honour and some for dishonour. So we see that God exposes some who are and some who are not. That's what separation will do. But we see some are raised for honour of gold and silver, a blessing. So we see this separation is effective for our ministry, is it not? Right, well, we've looked at separation. Let's go back now to Romans chapter 12. And we're looking at verse 2 primarily. And we want to look at this second word, transfigured or transformed. So he says here, and do not be conformed to this world, there's our separation, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you will know God's will, what he's saying. Because we don't know God's will unless we're being transformed. And this idea of being transformed means to be transfigured. Now we know a story, don't we, in the Bible, of the transfiguration. Let's turn to Matthew 17, verse 1. We'll look at this very quickly, because here is the idea of what this word means. And we might get an insight of why you're being changed, why you're being transfigured, why you're being formed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Matthew 17, and let's take it up from verse 1. Matthew 17, verse 1 onwards. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowing them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. 2 things happened there. Firstly, he takes a few of his disciples. Types of overcomers, not all of them experience this. And it says that Jesus was transformed and he became like white light. So the presence of God was seen upon him. And no doubt this rubbed off because the disciples saw it. And Peter, trying to interpret spiritual things, again gets it all wrong. So because there's still that idolatry there, still that religiousness, all Elijah, Moses appeared, and with the Lord, let's make a tabernacle, let's make a shrine for each of them, so that we can come and worship it, you see. That's his thinking. So they're already experiencing the presence of God, but the presence of God is not enough unless God speaks. And so with the presence of God will always come the voice of God. Because God said, "This is my son, hear him." He is the word. So they're saying, hear him preaching, hear what he's going to have to say, because what you have said is contrary to my will. You see? And in order for us to experience Jesus' presence, we also have to hear his voice. And that is why we come to these meetings, because we're being changed. It's this idea of being transfigured. And the more we hear, and the more we respond to his voice, what is here, the more of the presence and glory we're going to receive of God. Because you can't separate it. You can't separate any of it. And you know there's going to come a time when our families, when we have been to these meetings and we go home, they're going to see something about us that is different if they're not seeing already. They might not want to admit it, because that old pride in them won't. But they often, you will find, when you come home after you've been to a meeting and been praising and worshipping God and listening to the meeting and whatever his word, they're looking at you. They know. What's in them tells them they've been before God. They've been blessed. They've had an experience of Jesus. How do I know it? Because the devil, he can't stand it. He can't stand it. And so they can't stand it. Whatever the devil can't stand, they can't stand it. Because they're picking it off of him. That's the nature of demons. That's how it works, you see. And so the disciples fell down on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, do not be afraid." And when he had lifted up, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. See? They had experienced something, but they got it wrong. They interpreted it wrong. Why were they interpreting it wrong? Why was Peter still getting it wrong? Because God was still working separation. Peter's idea of separation and holiness was still religious, earthly. Jesus was teaching them something. Now you see how we get the idea, how we, when we harmonize the scriptures, how we get these deeper insights of what it actually means when we look back in Romans 12 and that second verse. So this idea of being transfigured, transformed, this is where we get these ideas, and our minds have to be changed to experience. And they're being changed so that we can understand this faith walk. Because this faith walk is to be understood, but it's not understood in the carnal. It is understood in the faith realm. And the understanding of faith is that we receive by faith, we believe, even though we don't see it yet, yet we see it through the eyes of faith. We sang the song earlier. But that is an understanding. That's not something vague. Sometimes you hear out of Christians, you know, they're talking, trying to talk about faith, And sometimes you're thrown into more confusion when you start. You think, what are they talking about? Doesn't make any sense to me. But it makes sense to me when I know that faith can be understood not by my feelings, my emotions, by what I see, but by the Word of God. And when I'm being transformed and changed and my mind being worked upon, I can then start to understand that. That starts to make spiritual sense to me. You see? And this is where the problem comes when Christians are in confusion and they're trying to analyze and spiritualize the spiritual and the carnal, and the two do not mix. They're like fire and water. That's why we have so much confusion in professing Christendom. And the only way you get delivered from that is to come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean things, because they're confusion. They are in nature. You know, when I try to work out or understand faith, or when I've taken a step of faith, if I'm starting to try and understand it, I stop and I go back to the beginning, because 9 times out of 10, it ain't faith, I've missed it. Because faith isn't going to do that. Faith is a rest. Faith doesn't try to work out, it doesn't try to understand, it simply believes and moves with God. And the moment you are trying to analyze it, work it out in the mind, you probably have missed it. They're clear signs. But we don't stop there, do we? And so sometimes these foolish things happen because of faith, or what we thought was faith. You know, in many ways I have found, and not that we rely on this, but this is where honesty comes in. But I have found that God has actually blessed honesty when you have come before him and said, Lord, this isn't faith. I'm not in faith. Have mercy. Help me. I have found the mercy and grace of God work on my behalf. It has. Why? Because God is getting us back to believing. And if it means that you have to repent and you have to acknowledge you've got it wrong, then that means God has got you back to the basis of starting to believe again, and he can work with that. And that's the key every time to this walk. Because God isn't going to bless it otherwise if it is not faith. For without it, we cannot please God, as Hebrews 11 tells us. Faith cannot operate in this world, because faith doesn't need this world. And all the while you try to mix faith with this world, it is completely contrary. And that faith within you, which is God, his word, will keep telling you and keep telling you until eventually you listen, faith doesn't need this world. Never has done and never will. Why do you still keep looking to it? And why do you still try to mix faith with the world? Can't. It's completely contrary. Doesn't need it. What it needs is the Word of God that feeds it, and that separated life under him. We have to accept the fact that sometimes our faith does not work because we're not really separated unto God as we should be. There's not that separation. You see. You may listen to the word, but unless the word separates you, it's not going to be of any good. So we need to understand this, brothers and sisters. When you try to work out and you try to understand faith and your step of faith, you probably have missed it. In fact, faith doesn't even say, now how am I going to step out in faith? I want to act my faith, but I've got to step out in faith to act this. You won't even do that. You won't. If you hear the word come, you just move. You just do it. Yes, to the world it looks completely mad, contrary, but you do it. Because the word of God to us says, come. That's its positive side. It's always saying every time we come together, we hear this word, and this word is ministered to us, this word is saying, come. I have it prepared in my Father's house. Is many mansions. In my Father's house is this feed. In my Father's house is blessings. I am saying, come. I'm not withholding. But it takes us time. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. Not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. It's demons that try to stop us. It's the devil. The devil will try to keep us in the sense realm. The devil would try and keep us trying to analyze and understand faith. Oh, I can't be in faith because I don't feel the anointing. Faith isn't dependent on feeling the anointing or feelings, period. Feelings have their place. We are emotional. We are creatures of feeling. But where our faith is concerned, we do not put our faith in them. Because they change like the wind. You've only got to look at human nature. One minute somebody's blowing all hot, and next minute they're all sad and mournful. Same with children. A lot of us have had children. You know the moods and swings of children. They change within seconds. That's human nature. And so we cannot put our faith in that alone. Our faith is in God, his word, his promises. And all his promises are saying to us, come, receive. But I know we don't all get there in the same way. And that is why we have to have time one for another. That is why in the house of God there has to be the love of God, the long-suffering, the mercy, the gentleness, because we're all coming through various different experiences. You see. And God has not called us into the house of God to judge or point the finger, but to stand with one another in prayer. You know, one of the most powerful prayers you can pray for your brothers and sisters in a trial, Father, please, in your mercy and grace, let not their faith fail in this. And I'm going to supplicate and pray that you will do precisely that. I don't believe God's going to become deaf to a prayer like that. On the contrary, Jesus prayed it for his disciples. Jesus prays it for us. I thank God he intercedes that my faith will fail not. Because without those intercessions, it will fail. Good and proper. But faith cannot be understood by the mere intellect. Don't try and analyze it. Don't try and understand it. Just simply receive that engrafted word just like a child does and let faith do the rest. It is so simple, that is why we miss it. It is. It is that simple. God has not made our believing, our receiving by faith complicated. On the contrary, it is so simple that is why we miss it. And yet we've got all these theological colleges trying to understand, intellectualize faith. Oh my. My. How God works so contrary to our ways, our thinking, our understanding. But there we get that clear story of the transfiguration, when Christ was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus didn't try to analyze it. Jesus was there. He experienced the Father's blessing. He communed with Moses and Elijah, which probably will be the two witnesses that will come back in the tribulation. He didn't try and analyze it. He didn't try and work it out. He just experienced it and got the blessing. But the disciples, Peter, James and John, they didn't get the blessing. Because they didn't understand it. They totally misinterpreted it. But they could have been blessed. They could have experienced this as well. They could have been transfigured with Jesus. God wasn't stopping them. He got them there to show them something, what they could have been blessed with. But the mind got in. Can it? Oh, it can be a curse at times. The mind of Christ isn't a curse, but a carnal mind is. And that's what he's delivering us from. Amen. Father, thank you today. Thank you for our faith teaching. Thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us. You're setting us free because we have the mind of Christ. Lord, we've received this word today. We're not going to try and understand it. We're not going to try and analyze it. We just know it is your word. It is your heart. It is your love to us. We embrace it. We receive it. And we're going to bear the fruit of it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Fulfillment in the arms of the sea.